It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, this is a busy time of year for the Purple Martins of Wisconsin. We'll preview a festival that celebrates the unique migratory birds.
First, a controversial campus free speech bill passed in the state assembly yesterday. It would expel students that disrupt campus events at UW system schools.
That's not the only thing on the agenda. The legislature also took up bills that look at everything from pre-existing conditions for people seeking insurance to work permits for teens.
Laurel White is WPR's state capitol reporter, and she joins us now to give us a recap of some of the biggest stories from the assembly. Laurel, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Laura, let's start with this campus free speech bill, which cleared the assembly. Can you give us some background on this one?
Yeah, so this is a really big one. This is actually a bill that the Speaker of the State Assembly, Robin Voss, has said is one of the most important bills, in his opinion, that the legislature will take up this session. So what this bill would do is set new guidelines for free speech and expression on all UW system campuses. And it creates a system where individuals who are found guilty of disrupting the expressive rights of others on two occasions would be suspended and on three occasions expelled. And it sets all sorts of, you know, kind of logistical steps for that, you know, a hearing process, a disciplinary hearing, who oversees the hearing, things like that, and actually sets the language as well for how disrupting free speech is defined, which has been a real point of debate as this bill has moved through the process. The language right now says disruptive behavior is, quote, violent or other disorderly conduct that materially and substantially disrupts others. So that particular language has changed quite a bit since the bill was first introduced a couple months ago. It's gotten a little bit more specific and a little shorter. When the bill was first introduced, it was a rather long list of characteristics that somebody might have if they were disrupting another person's expression.
And Laurel, this bill grew out of Speaker Voss's feeling that conservative voices were underrepresented on college campuses. Is that right?
That's right. That's something that Speaker Voss has voiced some concern about for quite a while now. He actually made a list of different campus speakers a while ago and their political affiliation, and expressed concern that there weren't enough conservative speakers on campus. So he believes that this bill will help encourage more conservative speakers to come to campus, that they won't be driven off of campus by protesters or be, you know, made not able to speak, you know, booed off stage or disrupted in some way. That's what all supporters of this bill are saying, that it's really a free speech bill, that it encourages free speech, that it encourages a diversity of opinions on campuses. And they don't really believe that that diversity exists right now. They think that there's kind of a liberal bias on UW system campuses in terms of speakers and student speech.
And opponents have some free speech concerns. What do they say?
Well, they're concerned that this bill inhibits the free speech of the students that want to protest campus speakers. So they say the language in the bill, that language I referenced earlier about violent or other disorderly conduct, they're concerned that students won't really know what's okay and what's not okay. So what constitutes conduct that materially and substantially disrupts another person? They think that that's a little bit vague. Under the bill, anyone is able to report another person for being in violation if they believe them to be in violation of these tenets. So somebody gets two reports, they have to go before the disciplinary committee, they could be suspended. And then opponents are also saying, okay, they go through that process, then there could be a legal challenge saying that the student wasn't actually participating in disruptive behavior. So that could potentially embroil the university in some lawsuits and unpleasant and costly, they argue, things from there.
And has the UW system taken an official stance on this?
The UW system did testify in a hearing on the bill, I believe that was last month, and they said that they recognize that they need to work on bringing more diverse speakers to campus. That's something that they have set as a personal goal. Interestingly, the UW system had just recreated its own free speech policies and guidelines just a few years ago. So they referenced that. I don't believe when they testified, they either registered officially in support or against this particular bill, but they certainly did during testimony acknowledge that they wanted to foster a greater diversity of campus speakers.
And we're speaking with Laurel White right now, WPR State Capitol reporter, taking stock of the latest from the State Assembly. And Laurel, another measure was passed in the Assembly that would limit post-election recounts. So what was that one?
So this is a pretty big one in response to the presidential recount that we had in Wisconsin last year. Folks probably remember that Green Party candidate Jill Stein requested and paid for a presidential recount in Wisconsin. It was one of the few states that actually went through with a presidential recount. There were some simmering all over the country. And what this bill would do that passed the Assembly last night is limit who can request those recounts. So folks might again remember that Jill Stein actually came in fourth in Wisconsin's presidential election. She just got about 1% of the vote. So under these new rules, the only person that could request a recount would be the second place finisher, and the second place finisher that finished within 1% or less of the winner. So that would have, of course, if this proposal were in place last year, candidate Stein would not have been able to request or carry out that particular recount. And supporters of this measure say that it's to prevent unnecessary, I believe they've used the word frivolous a few times, recounts that really don't have a high likelihood of actually changing the outcome of an election in the end.
So what's your sense of just how much more difficult this would make it for candidates requesting that recount?
Well, it certainly limits who is capable of doing so. I mean, it's just that second place finisher and within that 1%. So it really closes that that window there, that eligibility window for the times that a recount could happen in Wisconsin. And it does have different language for, I believe, an election that has fewer than 4,000 votes cast. Kind of, you know, makes it equivalent for a smaller election and requesting a recount. So going forward, this has just passed the Assembly now. It still needs to go to the state Senate. If it does become law in Wisconsin, I believe we would, you know, be likely to see fewer recounts in the state because fewer elections would simply be eligible to have them.
And Laurel, another bill passed the Assembly that came as a surprise to some people, a bill that affects how people would be dealt with pre-existing conditions. And this happened, was it early this morning?
It did, yes. This was quite a surprise to everyone. So this happened at about, I believe, 1:15 this morning. So if I'm not making too much sense, that's my excuse. I was here until about 2 a.m. So
wow.
This wasn't on the calendar, actually. We were nearing the end of the session, and Democrats used a procedural move to pull a bill to the floor that actually addressed something different, that addressed lifetime coverage limits for insurance. And through another series of procedural moves, Republicans replaced that measure with this pre-existing condition language. And what they ended up passing this morning, is a law that says Wisconsin insurance companies or insurance companies that operate in Wisconsin can't exclude people from having coverage if they have pre-existing conditions. That can't be something that causes them to turn away potential customers.
And is this one that has some support in the Senate, or is this just sort of new legislation that people are going to have to get to know?
This is pretty new. I mean, it was not, again, on the calendar last night. So this isn't something that we, as Capitol reporters, have been tracking and asking the Senate Majority Leader where he stands on this, if he plans to take it up. This is something that is part of the federal healthcare negotiations right now. So this language about pre-existing conditions is in the House version of the repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act, the American Healthcare Act. And I believe we found out today that it is also in the Senate version of the replacement bill for healthcare. So this is something that Republicans on a federal level have really embraced. So we'll have to see if the state Senate here, which is, of course, controlled by Republicans in Wisconsin, is also on board.
And Laurel, quickly, there were some changes in a bill to work permits for 16 and 17-year-olds. What is the thinking behind that one?
So this is rolling back a rather old requirement. I believe it's 100 years old that parents had to sign off on work permits for 16 and 17-year-olds in Wisconsin. Republicans who supported this measure said that requiring that parental signature is just unnecessary. It's a barrier to employment for some teens who might not have a parent involved in their lives for whatever reason. Democrats were opposed to this bill. They said that it removes some safeguards against child labor. So that was a pretty lively and animated debate. But it did receive the signature, I believe, of Governor Walker yesterday. So,
and lastly, Laurel, before we let you go, some movement on a bill that would allow the hunting of woodchucks.
Yes, that one was a little bit lighter debate yesterday. So that passed the assembly and saw an entertaining moment when Representative Joel Clayfish declared that woodchucks are rather tasty.
Over the objections of a representative from Sun Prairie who celebrates woodchuck
Groundhog Day. Yeah, right. Jimmy the Groundhog. So that was a heated debate as well, just in a little bit different realm.
Laurel, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much.
That was Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, joining us to talk about the Campus Free Speech Bill and other legislation that the State Assembly passed this week.